Well, good evening. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Maybe no surprise, we had a lesson for Matthew 6 this morning, and then the Bible class, Matthew 23, this morning as well. So another lesson from Matthew, and I got to see you all this morning through the live stream, even though you didn't get to see me through my computer. But it was good to be able to participate with you in that way, as I was staying home with Henry, and that's where Julianne is right now. So we're going to have a lesson here, kind of wrapping up this section for this month in terms of this focus of practicing your righteousness to be seen by men. We talked about this last week when we jumped into here. This section really has these three different topics. This morning we talked about alms or giving to the poor, to the needy, and prayer, and then fasting. And Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites, the Jewish leaders who do things in a certain way. And then while on the topic of prayer, he inserts another paragraph there, don't be like the Gentiles. And it's there that we get the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, our Father in Heaven. And she says, don't be like the Gentiles in this way. So really, we're going to not focus on prayer in the lessons today or next Sunday. And then in the month of July, we're going to really focus on the topic of prayer, different elements of prayer. We'll talk about the Lord's Prayer. We'll talk about prayer in general. And so kind of taking, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount this year, taking a focus on prayer with the Lord's Prayer in the month of July. So today we're really just looking at verses 16 through 18 in this lesson this evening. And this is where Jesus says this, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so we just want to talk about fasting this evening. Just not emphasizing so much the idea of to be seen by others, but just the topic of fasting in general. So should Christians fast today? And the answer to that is yes. That is something that is a part of the Christian life, certainly something we see in the New Testament. When I was looking at this today, should Christians fast today like Father's Day today? And maybe not Father's Day, because what we're going to see as we look at this topic, that in general, the idea of fasting goes along with the idea of mourning, whereas in the Bible, joy and celebration is when you feast, those feast times. So today is more like a feast day, and so that's appropriate, and that's good to have. But let's look at some of these Bible passages that talk about this. Here, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, and when you fast. So there's kind of an assumption there of fasting. Similar statement in Mark chapter 2, verse 20. Remember, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, look, the disciples of John the Baptist fast, our disciples fast, why aren't your disciples fasting? And Jesus says, there will come that day. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. So there's going to be this coming time when that happens. And we see an example of that in Acts 13. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas and other names listed, and Saul, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So here they're already worshiping and fasting. The Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then they keep doing it. So then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And this is them, Paul, Saul, and Barnabas being sent off to what we call the first missionary journey in Acts 13 and 14 here. And so they were already worshiping and fasting, this time of spiritual devotion, focus on God, and then to prepare themselves for the big work to come in this missionary journey, then they continue in that fasting and praying. And so clearly that was a part of their spiritual regiment. And I'll just say this, it's hard to imagine a more countercultural religious act than fasting. Maybe there's others. But this just seems to really go against the grain of kind of America and what we stand for and the commercials and the culture. This idea of to keep away from food for a limited time, not for health purposes, you know, not for dieting, to do this for spiritual devotion, this doesn't seem very American. That doesn't seem very fun or whatever. We're not talking about intermittent fasting for dieting and health reasons. You know, that's a thing today. For about the past decade, I looked online a little bit about intermittent fasting, and there's all the different kinds of ways you can do intermittent fasting. But it's a way to boost your immune system or to lose weight or something. And so that's fasting and narrowing your food window during the day for health reasons. And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about doing things for health reasons. We're doing things for spiritual reasons for the Lord. What we're really talking about is choosing not to eat, or as we'll talk about, abstaining from something else perhaps, for the purposes of spiritual devotion, for prayer, petitioning God, humility, mourning. Those are the Bible ideas that we're going to see associated with fasting. And it may be that we just need to regain some good old-fashioned piety of just devotion and spiritual focus to the Lord in a way that feels very much like things that the ancients would do. It may not feel very American, but this is biblical, and so we want to see what the Bible has to say about this. So let's look at some different Bible reasons, some biblical things that are associated and taught that go along with fasting. There's a way to humble yourself before God, you know, kind of to abase yourself, to show your neediness or your lowliness. You might remember that under the law, that there was only one day when they were required to fast. And for the Israelites, that was the Day of Atonement, that 10th day of the 7th month. And that's taught in Leviticus 16, that chapter that's the big chapter for the Day of Atonement. And it shall be a statute to you forever that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. And you see that you shall afflict yourselves. And that was understood from ancient times to be this idea of fasting. And then it's connected with this very serious spiritual thing that's going on that day. That's the day when the high priest would go into the most holy place. Atonement is made for the people and for the temple itself. The atonement shall be, for on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. So because of the spiritual import, and this is their day that God, as he made this culture for the people, I'm giving you holidays, I'm giving you things through the year, and here's a day for you to mourn for your sins. And that's kind of the idea. Here's the day for you to take that very seriously. And so fasting was just typically connected with this mourning idea. It could be mourning for sin, or it could be mourning for, just in general, someone may have passed in your life. And so you're mourning for that. You might be fasting with that as well. And that kind of fits in with the culture of the Israelites, that as a sign of joy and celebration is feasting. You know, the picture that when you get to heaven, it's this giant banquet feast, Isaiah 25, the great banquet to come, or you're going to sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus talks about that. When you get to heaven, the great celebration, it's a feast. And so it's kind of like, you know, why would you fast in heaven? That's all about the joy and the celebration, the ultimate triumph of God and his people. But when we encounter hard things here, that's a time for fasting, mourning, that kind of thing. And it's really a way to show God that you are serious about your sin. And so in those specific times when they were mourning for their sins. So a classic passage like Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. You see those things kind of put together there. Rend your heart and not your garments. It's easy to rend your garments. Oh, this is terrible. I feel so bad. And you tear your clothes. But rend your hearts deeper. Really get to the heart of the matter, what God is calling for them. Really, you could say the same thing about fasting. Easy to fast, but it really needs to get to the heart. It says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. So here, because of the people's sin, God says, come together, everybody, get there to the temple, pray, ask God for mercy, the solemn assembly with fasting as part of that. It's a way to prioritize God. It's a way to show God that you are putting him first. And this need, you might come to God with a specific need, and we'll see that as well. And so fasting is so often just linked with prayer. Now, if you're fasting, but you're not thinking about spiritual things, that's not devotion, that's a diet. That's not the point. Now, the point is to be having special time that, yes, you're abstaining, and then you're using that time instead to focus on God and to be thinking about those spiritual things at the same time. You're crying out to God. You're asking for his help, petitioning him for these things that you desperately need. It really shows that you need his help. You know, and God, I need your help more than I need this food. I want your blessing more than I want this food. That kind of idea. So a couple examples, Ezra chapter 8 and Nehemiah chapter 1. And Ezra and Nehemiah, and the stories of their lives there. Ezra says this in Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. And then Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You may remember that in the Nehemiah story, where he is finding out there's news about the walls of Jerusalem, and it devastates him. And so he's weeping and mourning. God answers his prayers because of that. Well, you see here fasting mentioned, and what's it associated with? It mentions fasting that we might humble ourselves. And then to seek from him. So it's this prayer. They're about to travel from that land of Persia all the way through. Maybe who's in Babylon? Wherever Ezra is at this point, they're going to be traveling west to Jerusalem. And so they got their kids. They've got these temple things, you know, the important things, asking God to bless them. So they fast there to ask God to protect them. And they do that before they go on their journey. And then Nehemiah, he hears these words and he weeps and mourns and continues fasting and praying. So this is the kind of thing we're seeing, this association with sorrow. This is terrible, the devastation of Jerusalem and taking that so seriously. And Nehemiah wants God's blessing on Jerusalem more than he wants that food. It is part of the idea there. So fasting has this idea with it of getting God's attention. You're trying to show him that you take him and your need seriously. Not that you have to do that, and we'll talk about this in a minute. It's not like this is some formula, right, like the ancient pagans. You know, I got to do this special sacrifice and do the special dance and cut myself because otherwise God just doesn't even care about me or listen. No, it's not like that. God cares about you. But you're also showing God your priorities and trying to show God how you feel about all of this. It's this closet idea of doing things for God, doing things in secret because God sees you in secret and he's going to be the one to bless you. And so it's really for God is this ultimate purpose of it. And it's really this idea of what we see in the Gospels. Remember, in the Gospels, over and over again, people who come to Jesus, and they show their faith, they show their need for Jesus in their persistence. They're going to drag this guy who's paralyzed up onto the roof and lower him through because they know Jesus can heal him. And they're going to cry out over and over again, and they tell the blind guy, shut up, stop crying out for Jesus, and he won't shut up, and he keeps crying out until Jesus calls him. Or the widow in the parable in Luke 18, who just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. That kind of persistence and prayer and devotion, that's what this is all about too. Fasting demonstrates that I need God's blessing. God, you're not one of my many tools in my toolbox. God, prayer is not just one of the things I'm trying. God, your blessing is the only thing I need. Your help is exactly what I need. Nothing else will do. So I turn to you with everything. And that's the idea of praying to God in that way. Maybe you've thought about another Old Testament story that deals with fasting is in the story of Esther. When they find out that there's a royal decree that the Jews can be exterminated. And so Esther chapter 4, verse 15, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. If you remember in Esther's story, she's going to go before the king to request first this feast, but ultimately to point out Haman's murderous plot. And so it's illegal. She's not allowed just to go before the king, but she's going to do it, hoping for his favor, for him to lower that scepter. So what does she do? She says, tell the Jews to hold a fast on my behalf because I'm going to be doing this thing. There, it's a severe fast, really severe, maybe the most severe fast we read about in the Bible with the details. That is, not eating or drinking for 3 days, night or day. And I'm going to fast too, and then I will go to the king. So those are some of the Bible ideas that are associated with fasting. So what about us? Well, clearly we need good time in God's Word, time in prayer. That's what we talked about last week. This idea of make that closet time happen and grow in that devotional time. Be strong in the Lord. You're strong in Him because you're doing that alone in private that nobody knows about. And we want to make sacrifices for God in our service to Him. This idea that we see in 2 Samuel 24:24, David, when he gives the offering there, he says, I will not offer these sacrifices, these burnt offerings, to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. You know, what if, you know, using marriage is such a perfect example for so many of these relationship principles. You know, what if for my anniversary from our wife, which was 2 days ago, what if, you know, I'd taken her to the place where I had these great coupons, right? And so, you know, just, man, it's going to be like buy one, get one free. And this is fantastic. And Julian, you like this meal? Good, because, man, it was cheap because I found these coupons, you know. You're laughing because it's not a good idea. You want to show your wife how special she is, and you take her someplace where it may cost a little bit more because you don't want to take the cheap way out with that. And that's exactly how we should feel with God. If we only give God the easy times, the coupons, if you will, that idea, and we never sacrifice for God, we never prioritize Him, then it's clear that He's not our priority. That we are prioritizing other things. And so we give sacrifices that are actually a sacrifice that cost us something. And so we need to have this time set aside for dedicating ourselves to the Lord, time to focus on Him, time to put God first. And so fasting just has a real place in that kind of thing. Now, biblical fasting was often for a whole day. You would see that in the Day of Atonement. And you'd see that in the fasts of the Jewish people of Jesus' day. But we have the freedom to sacrifice what we think we should. And so we need to see this principle as well. So you might remember that the Pharisee in Luke 18, when he's praying there, he says, I fast twice a week. And I don't know if you knew this, but this is not like that one guy that just decided I'm going to fast twice in a week. That was a regular weekly thing that on Monday and Thursday, the Pharisees or similar devoted people twice a week on those specific days would fast. And my understanding of that, that would be a sundown to sundown kind of fast. That might just turn into skipping breakfast and lunch. Because if you eat dinner right before sundown, you know, Sunday night before Monday, and then the sundown of Monday night that starts the Tuesday, and then you eat dinner there, really functionally you've just missed breakfast and lunch and you're still able to eat. That's similar to the fast of Ramadan that Muslims will keep, and maybe other religions have similar things. So they would often fast for a whole day like that. And we should see that we have freedom to not just be limited to that kind of thing. Certainly Christians have done longer fasts. We saw that in the story of Esther even. But even just skipping a meal for devotional time can be a way for us to make time for God and include fasting as part of a spiritual regimen. And so it's this idea of skipping that. And yes, we're weak and hungry from that, but we're praying, we're crying out to God, we're seeking His will, trying to fill ourselves with His will and to dedicate ourselves to God. And that idea of really calling out to God in our need and in our weakness. And you remember that God hears our secret prayers. That's the point of Matthew 6 here. God sees what you do in secret, and He will reward you. And we need to say this as well. It could be that giving up food isn't a good option for people. It may be notable and certainly worth saying that fasting is not overtly commanded in the New Testament. There's not a specific day of the year or specific way or specific thing. And so maybe one reason for that is that for some people, giving up food is not a good option, not the right kind of choice to be made for a variety of reasons. You may know who you are. You'll be like, yep, JD, that's who I am. So what are other things we can give up for a period of time? Now, this is biblical as well. Won't go into it, but this idea of I can give up other things for God, for time, for prayer, and that idea. And what it ends up being then is still this idea of a sacrifice to God. I'm showing God that I care about Him, I care about prayer, that there's this need, this dire need in my life, God, and yours is the blessing I need. And so I need your help more than this other thing. So it ends up being a sacrifice and showing God what I really care about, and it ends up being a reminder. So you say, for the next month, I'm not going to go on Facebook, and instead I'm going to use that time for prayer. And then every time I'm inclined, I want to go back to Facebook, oh yeah, no, God, I need to pray to you about this thing that I'm really needing your help with. So it becomes then a reminder of this thing that you're needing God's help and you're praying to Him fervently about. So that's a very biblical thing as well. So let's talk about some biblical warnings that are associated with that. We just read Isaiah 58. Josh read all 11 verses. And in our young men's class, we were talking about scripture reading in the public and how it doesn't have to be super short. So I appreciate Josh having a scripture reading that was on the longer side for what we tend to have. But I'm sure there are congregations out there that would think that was a short scripture reading. Isaiah 58 is this really interesting and helpful passage of what it is that God really cares about. And it's pointing to these people who are caught up in their religious tradition of fasting. And especially, they're crying out to God in verse 3, Isaiah 58, verse 3, why have we fasted, God, and you don't see it? We've humbled ourselves. God, you're not answering our prayer. And we're calling out to you, and we're fasting. Aren't you supposed to hear our prayer, God, and step in and help us? And we get the answer. And if you were paying attention to scripture reading, it says it multiple times here. These people were big on fasting, small on justice, small on righteousness, small on helping the poor, and things like that. He says things like verse 4, behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to hit with a wicked fist. So they're fasting and then they're irritable, right? We call that getting hangry, I guess. I mean, they're irritable and so they're slapping each other and hitting each other. God's really impressed with that. You know, great job fasting. So now that you're hitting each other. And then he says, what you need to really do is in verse 6, the fast that I want, to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the straps of the yoke, let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Verse 7, to share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house, to cover the naked and not hide yourself from your own flesh, your own relative. So to help people. And you just have this picture of people who are so concerned about religious fasting, and then there's all the stuff in their life that God wants them to be doing, and they're not doing it. They're sitting in their closet praying, and there's all kinds of people burdened under these yokes. They need to go help them, and they're not doing it. So obviously, fasting is a good thing. Isaiah 58 is not condemning that. But what a joke it is if in our life we're leaving undone the things that God wants us to be doing. And people out there are hurting, and we're not helping them. That connects, of course, to the lesson and the thoughts this morning. It's how silly it is to be mourning for my sin. I'm so sorry for my sin. God, we're so wicked. We're so sinful. God, forgive us. Forgive us. He's like, okay, well, so go. Go and do the things I've told you to do. So that's silly. And when God wants us to be busy with His work, we need to go and to do those things God would have us to do. So really similarly to that would be Zechariah chapter 7. We had the Zechariah class last year just as COVID was setting in. And I remember having the Zechariah class with some of you just as we were starting Zoom and figuring out all that. But we covered this passage in Zechariah chapter 7. And if you have studied this before, the people have been fasting for these 70 years because of all the terrible things that happened when Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed and burned. And so they're fasting in these different months, the 4th, 5th, the 7th, and the 10th month. And they're fasting because the temple's been destroyed. Well, guess what? They're building the temple. So reasonably, they say, okay, so if we're building the temple, we have a temple, do we have to keep fasting about the loss of the temple? So they come to Zechariah. Should we keep fasting? So read with me in verses 3 through 10 here. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 3. Saying to the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, should I weep and abstain in the 5th month, as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th month and the 7th for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous, where their cities around her in the south and the lowland were inhabited? And here on the slide, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? They're asking about fasting, and he says, go and make sure you're doing these things. Show kindness and mercy. Don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the sojourner, and things like that. So really, Zechariah ends up preaching a pretty similar sermon here. Why are you so concerned with these fasts if you're not living righteously to begin with? It's so ridiculous. They're concerned about these traditions that they've had for these 70 years, but yet they're not even living in the rest of their life as God would want them to. And so, let's look at these two points we can see. Apart from the similarities to Isaiah 58, look at these two points he makes in verses 5 and 6. He says in verse 5, when you've been fasting these 70 years, who were you fasting for? Were you fasting for me? And then he says in verse 6, and today, when you eat and drink, who are you eating and drinking for? Is that for me? So think about these ideas. He says, when you're fasting, who are you really fasting for? When we're in prayer, we have a need, something terrible has happened, and we're crying out to God. Are we guilty of rending our garments, but not really rending our hearts? Not really turning to God with our heart? Are we really focused on God through prayer, through devotional time, through fasting? Or am I just really upset because something bad happened? So I lose my job and I say, wow, I really need a job to support my family. If I turn to God with prayer and fasting, but am I doing that really for God and for God's will to be done? Or am I just kind of really wanting a job again as soon as possible? And it reminds us again of this principle that I'm sure we'll talk about next month, focusing on prayer. Am I just treating God like this cosmic vending machine? I need to punch the right buttons, put in the right dollar. Okay, before I thought I could get God to do what I wanted just by praying. Now the preacher says that for me to get God to do what I want, now I've got to fast too. But that's not the idea. That's not the idea. Is now it's just one more thing I've got to do, one more hoop to jump through to make God to do my will. Prayer is about asking God for His will to be done. And so I do cry out to God because I'm in a desperate situation or I really need help, and I'm turning to God because He's the help I need. But ultimately, at the end of the day, this is not just about some way to make God do my will. It's about seeking God. And that's Zechariah's point here. Was it really for me that you fasted? When you were mourning the loss of Jerusalem, were you really mourning for your sins or just the fact that you were in captivity and your life was extra hard now? What about this? This is verse 6. And when you eat and drink, aren't you eating for yourselves and drinking for yourselves? And you think, oh, of course. That's who else do you eat for? I don't eat for my kids. I don't eat for other people. I put food into me for me. No, God's saying you need to live every part of your life for me. And then even when you're eating, you need to be eating for the Lord so that every part of your life is for the Lord. So whether you eat or you don't eat, it's all for the Lord. Every part of our life is completely dedicated to God and to His service. And so when I'm eating, I'm thankful. I say, God, thank you for this food, this fuel for my body. And if I didn't have this fuel, for about 3 or 4 weeks, I would die. And so I thank you, God, for giving me the food I need for your service as I seek to do your will. Thank you, God. And so we can look at those passages, 1 Timothy 4, other. See, we thank God for food, and we're so grateful for the blessings God has given us. And then if I don't eat, that's because I'm doing that for God too, because every part of my life is totally devoted to Christ, totally devoted to the Lord. How does God look at it? If I devote some of my time to him, but the rest of my life is just for myself. You know, I basically live for myself. I do what I want to do. When times are tough, or because the preacher told me I had to, or whatever, okay, I'll read my Bible. Okay, I'll pray a little bit. I'll skip a meal, JD, because you told me I had to. But you're not living for God the rest of your week. God sees that. What do you think of friends who only call you when they need something? You never hear from them, nothing ever. But when there's a need, oh, yep, they're ringing, they're at your door. You feel used, right? We don't like to feel used. Are we using God when I'm only really devoting time and effort and attention to him when I'm in need, but the rest of my life is just for myself, selfishly living how I want to? And God says, no. And Zechariah here is saying, fast for me, eat for me, so sleep for me and work for me and spend time with your kids for me and serve for me, everything for the Lord in our life. That's the Christian life, do everything for our God. And coming back to Matthew 6, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So when you fast, when you pray, hide it. You don't need to draw attention to that. You don't need to let anyone else know about that. And that's the way that we need to live that. And we don't talk a lot about fasting. Hopefully that's a reflection of good things, that we're just not trying to draw attention to that. Not the reflection of bad things, that we're neglecting this part of God's devotion and dedication to our Lord. And here's the promise: the God who sees your fastings and your prayers in secret, that he will reward you. And that's the promise Jesus gives here. That our God who sees in secret will see these things and bless us, answer our prayers, and hear our prayers. So let me tell a story from about 5 years ago. This was back when we were in New York. And there was a lot of church conflict going on at that time. We didn't have elders, and so that certainly contributed to a lack of stability with that group. And there was some members who were really critical of the preacher I was working with, and I think I was being lumped in with that as well, although I was not the primary target of that. And so just angry, frustrated emails, criticisms and accusations. And it was just really stressful, and things were bad, and we're like, is this church going to fall apart or explode? And it was just not going in a very good direction at all. Someone suggested then that instead of kind of finger-pointing, that instead they suggested that this coming up Wednesday, we had midweek on Tuesday night, so that Wednesday that we would fast, that we would not have food that day. And then we would come together over Skype and then pray together, confessing our sins, and instead of pointing the finger at others, really just there in that group of men, confessing our own sins, weaknesses, and shortcomings. And so we did that. And I want to say a group of about six of us that did that, both me and the preacher, and then the people who were bringing the accusations and things like that. And it was life-changing in this sense, that after that night, as long as I was there, the church conflict was never as bad as it had been before, and the church remains to this day. Things really changed after that night. And I just believe that was God hearing our prayers, hearing our best attempts to be humble and to work together better in humility. And God just hears our prayers. And I share that story as to me, just one of the bright examples in my life of God really turning things around because of time and prayer and fasting devoted to Him. God answers prayer. And God sees when we cry out to Him. And so, just keep doing that. Keep coming to God. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep devoting yourself to the Lord. So, be the light. Let's be the light this week. And I'm sure you've sensed the irony of this month's focus on these things we do in private. How do we be the light in those ways? But you know the point we've been making is that our goal in these private times, in the closet, praying and giving in a way that my left hand doesn't even know what my right hand is doing, and these kinds of things, that I'm growing that inner light. I'm strengthening myself. I'm developing that salt, that character, that backbone, that strength in myself, so that when I go out into the world, that I'm stronger because of my devotional time with God that has strengthened me. So keep working on that private time with God and make time for God and make time for God in your day and keep crying out to God for the challenges in your life. Grow that personal integrity, grow that inner light to prepare us then to leave the closet and to go and shine the light into the world. And that's our encouragement for you all this evening. Thank you for listening. We want to help people be pleasing to God. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount this year and just paragraph after paragraph of Jesus' difficult teachings. But we want to encourage each other. We want to help each other so that when that day comes, when we stand before the Lord, as we talked about this morning, that He's pleased with us. This morning, the focus was we want to be those who gave and gave generously. And we clothed the needy and fed the hungry and visited those in jail. And because Jesus is going to say, you were really doing it for me. So enter, come on in. You've been blessing me all along. And people will say, Jesus, we never did that to you. He says, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And then there's other things in the Bible. We want to help each other to grow in these things, to be pleasing for that coming judgment. So we want to help you. If we can pray with you, study the Bible with you. And if you're ready to follow Jesus and give your life completely to Him, we can even baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Let us know, maybe even now, when we stand and sing a song of invitation.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus, and mercy upon your sweetest cry of unlifted power, turn and let His Son say, and hear. He has heard my heart, and He laid on me.